tell y'all about humility at the 10th degree. I wouldn't trade this feeling for nothing in the world. Because I know that if I wasn't being humble, I'd be so arrogant, thinking that I can come in here and hold it down and all that, and it's not what it's about, you know. And so what I feel right now, it is so large, you know, to be given the opportunity to come in here and share my experience, strength, and hope with you guys. I don't take that lightly. I haven't been able to sleep. I done been to the ladies' room about 5 times, okay? And I'm just being honest. And so I want to thank the God of my understanding for getting me here. And I want to thank the convention for inviting me. It was through one of my peers that I ended up being afforded this opportunity. It kind of developed in Starbucks on Greenbelt Avenue. When I shared with her that I'd be celebrating 5 years coming up, and generally it falls at the time that I'm in Ocean City. So this Saturday, I'll be celebrating 5 years in D.C. Yes, and really, I've worked so hard for it, you know, and basically what I wanna share with you is something that happened to me this morning. I've been coming to this program in and out for like 15 years, and about 5 years ago, I was staying at the Dunes Hotel on the 10th floor in room 1015. And that morning, I had just come back from Salisbury, Maryland. I was being medicated. I was on methadone. Came back to the room, and I was in so much pain because I was at the crossroads. Didn't know what to do, in and out on meth. My brother was dying, the end of a relationship. It was so many things going on, and I wanted to die. I wanted the pain to end. And I stood on the balcony, and the water was so beautiful, it was so appealing, and I just wanted to go walk out there, you know, and just end it all, because I wanted the pain to go away. Well, what happened was, this morning, I couldn't sleep, so I got up, 7 o'clock, went and ate breakfast, came back to the room, and it occurred to me that I was staying in the same room that I was staying in 5 years ago, when I wanted to walk out on that water. I found myself out on this same balcony, but the feeling was not the same. Thank you, God. Whew. Wow. I looked out on the water, and it seemed to go on and on and on. You couldn't see an end. And I was like, damn, wonder where it ends. And that's kind of like how I visualize my life today. You know, I can do anything I want to do. You know, the sky is the limit. And that's what y'all promised me. Even when I kept coming in and out for 15 years, y'all promised me that I could do anything that I wanted to do, you know, and I thank God that I took the time. And actually, I didn't come in and say I'm gonna get clean. You know, I had a reservation because my brother was dying, and things just started happening. So when I came in this time, I was quite aware that I was powerless and my life was unmanageable, but there was still a bit of struggle. You know, and when I got to my second step, I was like, insane. I ain't insane. And my sponsor at the time said, sweetie, people that are not insane don't stand down on 7th and T Street all day. And people that are not insane, they don't break in their family's house. You know, and people that are not insane, they don't go to lunch at 12 and don't come back and wonder why they got fired, you know. And so I was able to quickly identify with the second step. And then in the third step, I was able to recognize through your experiences and just watching how you all, you know, resolved your issues that that a power could restore me and that I could turn my life over, you know. And even though I wasn't sure, I just kept coming and I stayed in the process. And things started getting better. And even though I can say a lot of things that happened to me were materialistic, I don't think it's anything wrong with that, you know, because when you stop using, you get a raise, you know, and things do happen, and you start receiving some things. It is clear to me, as much as I like material things, it is so clear to me that if I use, all bets are off. I will do anything and everything to get what I got to get to get on. By the time I got to my fourth step, I was in a dilemma because I really wanted to be able to share all of my steps with my sponsor. And though it's not required that you share your fourth step with your sponsor, that's what I wanted to do. The person that I had as a sponsor, I wanted to know everything about me. Everything. I needed somebody to know everything. And because I was having a dilemma with the person that I had at that time, I had to make a decision. And it was very painful. I love this person to this day because she raised me. She taught me how to stand on my own. It, a lot of things about her that I truly admire. But at the time, I needed to move on and select someone else. And so that's what I did. And when I asked this woman to sponsor me, she said, if it's not about the fact that you want to avoid writing, then, and if it's not about the person, then you'll put pen to paper and just get busy. And so that's what I did. So I did my fourth step, and by the time I got to five, you know, see, because when I came in, I had so much stuff going on. The relationship had ended, you know, the methadone. It was just so much stuff that I needed to be able to get some of it off of me. So my first sponsor got a lot of stuff, you know, and it was like a pressure relief valve, so to speak. By the time I got to my fifth step, I was ready. I wanted that shit up out of me quick. Okay, and so I was able, and it was like a freedom, you know. I wasn't reluctant at all to share with her. However, the experience was something that has changed my life incredibly. It was like a whole nother, a spiritual level. Wow. A lot of the things that came up, I was ashamed of. But when I shared with my sponsor, she shared things back with me, and I found out that I wasn't so unique because I was so self-centered. I felt like I was different. You know, a lot of the things that I had done and that I would thought, you know, I'll never tell anybody this, you know. Come to find out, it was not like that. She shared some things with me, and I said, shit, she just as bad as I am, you know. But it was a great freedom in that step. And there were some things that came up. I had to take a look at things like the harm that I had caused to other people. And because, you know, what happens is when you do a fifth step, it's really not about just reading off of the paper what's on the paper. That's not what it's about. You know, what it is being able to share with somebody else the exact nature of your wrongs. And the actions and the exact nature are two different things, you know. And so when I shared my step with my sponsor, she helped me to see that although I had done a lot of things to a lot of people, that there were some things that were done to me as well. You know, she was able to help me to separate the two. Now, by no means did she try to minimize the harm that I had caused, but she helped me to let myself off of the hook a little bit with some of the things, you know, that I had done, and helped me to find ways to deal with some of the things. Because really, when I shared, there was something that I shared with her about an experience. And she said, "Sweetie, you only did that because somebody did that to you, you know." And it wasn't easy to just accept that, you know. It wasn't easy to just say, "Okay, that's what I did, and God forgive me," or, you know. So what she suggested was that I get some other help. And the literature talks about that. You know, some of us need other help, you know. But some of the other things that have come out of my fifth step were the fact that I had some fears about some things that were really large. I mean, just like being around white people, I felt inferior. She helped me to process, you know, all of that. Sometimes I'll feel inferior around my peers. And what it is that I needed to go back to school. You know, I'm not stupid, but she helped me to process all of that. And what it was is, see, I stopped a process. You know how we defer dreams? Okay, well, because I was in college, but I was snorting heroin, I couldn't do both. I just, you know what I'm saying? Something had to go, exactly. And so basically what I did was I deferred one of my dreams, you know, to better my education. And it's just so funny the way things happen, because I have a daughter that went to college. And this year my son is graduating from high school. I had nothing to do with my daughter and her process of furthering her education, because I was getting high at the time. My son, on the other hand, I've had to go through the whole process of filing for financial assistance and things of that nature. And what it has helped me to do is really take a look at myself, you know. And because of my son, I'm going back to school in the summer. And you know, those are some of the things that kind of came up in my fifth step, you know, was the fact that I felt inferior, the fact that I didn't feel smart enough. You know, some of the fears are just about the fact that, you know, I'm afraid of losing something that I have or not getting something that I want. You know, and what happens during that process is that I'll act out in ways that, you know, that are kind of not cool, you know, and I'm going to share with you all something that I did last year when I was going through that process of being stuck in fear. I was seeing somebody, y'all, and I wanted to have him forever. I liked his program and the way it worked. So because of my fears of not being able to control the situation, I told a lie. And I told this young man that somebody asked me to marry them. And he was hurt. Where'd that come from? You know, in my fifth step, I found out that I was a liar. When my sponsor first told me that, I couldn't really claim it. But then she reminded me about the $1,000 that I didn't give back to the bank. She reminded me about the money order that was supposed to have been $30, but it was $300 that I didn't give back. You know, she reminded me of all those things that were in my fifth step that I had, that showed that I was a liar. In fact, I was a liar. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a thief. I'll do any and everything to get what it is that I want. Anyway, I caused harm, and it doesn't feel good. Matter of fact, let me tell y'all the whole truth. Let me tell y'all the whole truth. Okay. I wanted this lie to appear so real that I bought myself an engagement ring. But I took it off every time I went to the meeting because I didn't want nobody to ask me if I was getting married. So anyway, yeah, I that was some sick stuff. And, it just showed how desperate I was, you know. And then when I looked at some of the other stuff that that I wrote about in my fifth step, I started seeing how I don't have boundaries in my life as far as, because see, the fifth step teaches me about relationships. It helped me build a relationship with the God of my understanding. You know, it better develop that relationship. And my sponsor and I got tight as shit, you know, because it was a deeper level of honesty. You know, the things that I shared with her that I thought I would never tell anyone, you know, it was awesome. So it's helped me to set boundaries. I don't have to be with people that I don't want to be with. You know, if I can see that I need to develop in certain areas, then why do I have to settle for less once I've reached my goals? That doesn't make sense to me. You know, and she helped me to see that I needed to develop in a lot of areas. You know, how can I ask you to be honest with me when I don't know how to be honest? How can I ask you to have a 401k or be financially independent when my credit is some shit? You know, I mean, how can I ask you to come to the table with all these things and I ain't got nothing going on? You know, so the fifth step wasn't just about the harm that I caused to people. It was also some of the harm I caused to myself. I mean, you know, the credit card debt and just how I messed up everything and, you know, just all the wreckage, you know, and I can get clean and I can still form a lot of wreckage, you know, because the behavior is the same. It really is. When I cause harm with other people, it leaves the same wreckage. When I'm geeking on him, it's just like geeking for some dope. It ain't no different. You know, when I'm pressed at the mall because they ain't got my size and that color, and I'm calling Florida and Pennsylvania and Europe and wherever else I can try to get the shoe, that's geeking. It's the same thing as when I'm snorting dope. Same feeling. You know, when I go to a store and when I see something and I'm thinking, okay, should I get that? You know, should I get this? And then I don't get it and get home, be sick as I don't know what. You know, can't wait to get back to the store so I can see if they have it. And then I get back there and they done sold it. You know what I'm saying? That's a terrible, terrible feeling. You know, so I don't know. And I'm gonna tell y'all, yesterday I did it again because I was down at the outlet. And okay, shit. Okay, I'm gonna do that. I was at the outlet. I bought one pair of shoes in one color and another color. And she said she didn't have my size in the other one. So I said, well, could you go on the computer and see where you got it? Shit. You know, what's wrong? You know? And then she gonna tell me the shoes were somewhere out in Florida or somewhere. And because I don't have a credit card, and I don't feel bad that I don't have no credit card. You know, I've got some money in the bank. I've got 401k, and I've got some other things going on. And that's only as a direct result of this process. You know, because I'm telling you, a year ago, I was a mess. Borrowing 6 months ago, borrowing money all the time, and even though I make very good money and I can pay it back, it's just the principle of it. What the hell you gotta be borrowing money for? And what ain't even put $5 away? What about your retirement? You know what I'm saying? And as a result of the work that I've done, my sponsor was able to help me to put some things in place. You know, and to do some things so that I can secure my future financially, you know. And I went and look, I work off of an Excel spreadsheet on payday. And I'm not embarrassed about it. I drop in the who gonna get paid and who ain't, you know, and the computer calculates everything for me, you know. And it has helped me to build my credibility again. Because I had filed bankruptcy 3 years ago. Nobody wanted to give me, you know, do a thing for me. I mean, it was just out of control. But as a result of coming in here and sharing exactly where I'm at, people helped me. Because one of my peers, he took me under his wing, helped me get in the credit union. It was like the best thing since sliced bread. I'm like, the credit union? Shit, and everybody can't get in. You got to know somebody and shit. I'm like, damn, you know, this is big, right? And so, shit, I got two accounts, and I love how I'm living. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And, you know, my fifth step showed me who I am and the things that I'm capable of doing. But I'm here to tell you that is only if I go back. You know, if I go back, I will do anything. But I keep in front of me that I still know how to act out. I just don't use the drugs. And I'm not going to stand up here and try to act like I can say, well, I'll work on that. Because I'll take, you know, and tell you, well, it's a process until that shit be procrastination, okay? And really, I mean, see, for me, once I become aware of the fact that I need to change in a particular area, I need to get busy. Bottom line. You know, because and I'm just talking about how it is for me. You know, some people, if they choose to do the things they do and throw at you, it's a process, be sleeping with other people's husbands and sleeping with other people's wives and all that kind of stuff. And I ain't trying to, I'm just sharing that. What happens is there's a price to pay for that kind of shit. There is a price to pay once you become aware of what you are doing. You gotta get busy. And it don't mean that it's gonna change overnight, but you have to be willing. The same willingness that you had when you came in here and got clean, you have to be able to say, God, please keep me off that dick. Or please keep me away from that pussy. Whatever it is. I mean, I'm just really, it's just that simple. I mean, why can't we? Maybe I wasn't supposed to say pussy and dick. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For real, I'm sorry. And you know, y'all making me feel so much comfortable. I ain't gonna let you share shit. Look, I was so nervous. But I love my area, and I want y'all to give yourselves a round of applause. Because for real, I didn't go around telling nobody. It's just people love you. They love you, and they support you. I mean, I got the best area in the world. I do, you know, and I just appreciate you all coming out to support me because I was so scared. But you know what happens in this process is that you all tell me that we'll go through everything with you. You know, this is a first for me. And look at all these people out here supporting me. You know, it's just awesome. When my brother died, more people were in that church than some of the people that were there and, family and so forth. That was big for me. And I didn't think about using at the time, but it was just the fact that y'all were there to say, baby, we got you. You know, and it's the same thing now. They heard Pat doing the first convention. They was like, man, come on, y'all. Love, we going, right? And I just love you all so much. And so I had told Thaddeus, thank you. I told Thaddeus, I said, Thaddeus. I came in here, I said, Thaddeus, this is the first time. Can I go first? I just need to hurry up so it'll be over, right? I just wanted it to be over, you know. And he said, baby, it's all right. You know, we were able to pray. But I just felt like, hell, I done prayed. I done everything. I just wanted it to be over. But my brother, I've got a brother, y'all. I love him to death. When my brother died, this other guy kind of, we adopted each other. We've known each other for 15 years, and he's just there for me. I love him so much. He knows who he is. I ain't gonna shout him out and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, it's just amazing. It is just amazing the things that happen if you just, you know, if you just stay on your path. You know, he told me, he said, once you identify yourself, after you say your name, shit, you're going to be all right. You ain't going to be nervous no more. I'm like, whatever. I'm all on the phone, pacing the floor in the hotel. You know, I done went to the bathroom 50 times, you know, and he's like laughing and messing with me and stuff, right? But when I got over here, there were people that just embraced me and said, Pat, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm glad I got it over. See, in a few minutes, I'd be able to sit down and be like, yeah, right? But... But, you know, just to wrap it up, my fifth step took me to a whole nother place, you know, where I knew that if I just stopped trying to control some stuff and just let my high power work in my life, you know, try to be the best person I can be, that you know, things were just going to be swell. And I don't proclaim to be perfect. I make a whole lot of mistakes, but I'm willing to do better. You know, and so when I talk about going to God, about the errors of your ways, I'm simply talking about the fact that I can talk to my God like that. I can say, look, I'm fucked up with you. You know, that's the relationship that I have. You know, so maybe one day he'll say, you need to watch your mouth, you know, but... You know, right now, I just, you know, I try to be the best that I can be. I really do. If I cause harm to someone, I try to immediately, you know, rectify the situation. I really do. And I also sometimes will hold on to shit forever. That has something to do with that familiarity with pain. You know, it's like, I'll just keep this, thank you very much. But at some point when I want to, you know, let it go, I am afforded a feeling that is so large, because for real, we don't need, you know, all of that mess, you know, going on. But what I'd like to offer to the newcomer is that this program really works. It really works. Just look around you. You know, y'all look good as shit. Okay, you know, and just imagine if all of us just marched out of here and went back to wherever and got high, it would be a fucked up world, okay? But if we just all stay on our path, you know, and do the next best thing for the right reason, you know, it's all good. The sky's the limit. You know, you can have a castle or a hut. Those are things they told me when I first came in, you know. And for the newcomer, just please, please, I encourage you, please, if it can work for somebody like me that had been on methadone for 15 years, on and off, I didn't know that it would work. I thought I was so different, so unique. If it can work for me, it can work for you. And I invite you to the miracle of recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patricia. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Thaddeus M. Morning, everybody. My name is Thaddeus. I'm an addict. First thing I want to do is thank God for letting me be here. I want to thank Patricia because she did a wonderful, wonderful job. I took off my coat because it was getting hot. She was stepping on my toes. Some of the stuff she was sharing. We shared early when I came in here and I was sitting down. I came to the fourth step meeting. And I was sitting in the back of the room, and when the meeting was over, Patricia came up to me, and she said, Thaddeus, I'm doing this workshop, and this is the first time I've ever done a workshop, and I'm nervous. And I said, I'm nervous, too. She said, but you've done so many work. I said, I'm still nervous. And I think the reason why I was nervous, because I knew that I had to come in here and get honest. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, and the fifth step, and this is a step that talks about honesty, as all the steps do. When the guy called me and asked me to do this convention, he called me, his name was Jim Giddings, I think. And I answered the phone. He said, is Thaddeus McRae there? I said, no, he's not here right now. Can I take a message? You know? And I took the message and I hung the phone up and I was thinking. And I'm saying, now who is this guy Jim Giddings? Because he asked for my whole name, right? So I called him back and I said, hi, Jim, this is Thaddeus. I heard that you called me. And he said, yeah. He said, I'm Jim Giddings. And I'm, yeah, I didn't know who he was. He said, yeah, I'm Jim Giddings and I got your name. Somebody gave me your name and I wanted to know if you would be interested in doing a workshop at the convention. I said, oh, okay. So I said, what you like me to do? He said, well, what can you do? I said, well, it's no problem. He said, have you done the steps? I said, yes. I went through a cycle of the steps with my sponsor. He said, well, how about doing the fifth step? And I said, oh, my goodness. And part of me wanted to say no. But I said, sure. Because you people have told me or have taught me on this journey that when someone asks you to do something for this program, you step up to the plate.
That's right.
Regardless of how you feel. Because my sponsor always say your feelings will lie to you. You know what I'm saying? Your feelings will keep you from doing a whole lot of things. You know? So I'm here and I'm honored to be here. Real quickly, I came up here with my girlfriend. We was riding up the highway and Patricia just we were supposed to get here. Well, we got here when we got here, but we made a stop coming here. We stopped at Dover, Delaware. Okay? Yeah. That's where we stopped at. Now we had a plan now. Our plan was to just spend a little time there and just move on. You know, and we did. But you know what? And the only reason I'm sharing this because with Patricia, it's amazing that when you get caught up in the grips of the obsession, when the drugs are removed, and you know how you put other things in the place of drugs, you know, and I'm playing the slot machines, you know, and I'm hitting for a minute, but then when I start losing, and when I lost all my money, I found myself walking around looking at the floor for quarters. That's real. I'm seriously. I said, goodness gracious. Yeah, I know. So you know what? When people laugh, I've learned that's identification. So I know I'm in the right place. We are more alike than different. Yeah. One last thing I want to share before I get into the fifth step. I was in Alexandria, Virginia. I think it was about 3-4 months ago. Someone had asked me to go to come do a meeting, and I was going to the meeting to do the meeting. It was at a detox. It was on a Sunday morning, and I, in my haste, because one of my glaring defects is that I wait to the last minute. I like living on the edge. Okay, so I'm hurrying up. You know, I'm rushing, and I'm driving. And I come to a stop sign, and I'm not really paying attention, and I make a right turn at a red light, and I go up, and the police car pulled me over. And I said, damn, you know. So the policeman, he was real nice and cordial, and he came up to the car. It was a white policeman. He came up to the car, and he said, good morning. I said, good morning. I said, what's the problem, officer? He said, you didn't see that red light back there? You made a right turn. I said, yeah, right on red. He said, but it's a big sign up there. So I said, oh. I said, no, I didn't. He said, give me your license and registration. So I gave it to him. So while he looked, he said, do I know you? And I said, oh, my God. And right away, I start reflecting back. Did I take care of all them warrants? I mean, so I said, I don't think so. So he took it. So he said, I know you from somewhere. He said, but I don't know. I can't play. So he went back to the car and he waited. And I'm sitting there, man, and I'm saying, oh, man, please. You know, I hope it's not wrong, you know, because I'm really going there, right? So he finally come back to the car and he looked and he said, I knew I knew you. I got your life. He said, you're friend of Bill's. I said, I sure am. That right. I'm a friend of Bill's. Yeah. You know. He said, well, do me a favor and sign here. And he still gave me the ticket, y'all. You know. So, and I had an instant resentment. Went there, stayed there. You know. So, and I just wanted you to know how I can hold on to things, and I held that resentment for a long time. Look, my process on doing my fifth step, thank God that I had a sponsor that I had gotten early on in this process, because when I got here and I surrendered and stopped using, I heard people say, in the meetings that they said, Thaddeus, when you stop using, you'll realize the drugs were just a symptom of a much bigger problem. Drugs wasn't your problem. Drugs would got you here, but after the drugs are gone, you're going to still have the same issues. And if you don't deal with those same issues that you use drugs to, you'll be clean and you'll use. Now, you won't use drugs, but you'll wind up doing other things. So I'm going to give you the key, the solution. And it's up to you, because this is a program of suggestions. Now, you can stay here and just be clean if that's what you want to do. It's all right with me. You know what I'm saying? Or you can get busy and do some work, you know, because the 12 steps are the program. So what does program mean? Program means plan of action. So if you don't even doing no step work, you don't have no plan of action. So because I'd heard early people who was here before me talk about hitting bottoms in recovery, I wanted to get into the steps. And my sponsor got me busy, and I got into the steps, And I need to tell you, when I did a fourth step, one of the things I told you was procrastination. I one of the reasons I really wanted to do my first fourth step so I could go into a meeting and raise my hand and say that I did a fourth step. Because I wanted to be a part of. Okay, I wanted to be accepted. And that was something, when I look back in one of the areas that I had wrote about in the fourth step, one of the glaring areas that they had talked about, that I had identified with, was that I always wanted to be somebody that I wasn't, okay? And because I always wanted to be somebody that I wasn't, I set out to do things to make you like me. You understand what I'm saying? And I often share about this. People from my area, D.C. area, know one of the things I share about was Cynthia Cooper. Okay? Yeah. Cynthia Cooper, man. Pretty little girl with long hair. Fine as all outdoors, and I liked her. She sat in front of me in school. I now, you know, I'm little. I'm in the fourth grade, you know. But I liked her, but I didn't know how to tell her I liked her. So I used to make these little notes. I love you. Check yes, check no. Stick them on her desk. Oh, y'all can identify. Okay. I wouldn't say my name. I wanted to tell her, but I just didn't know how. I didn't know that I had low self-esteem coming up. I didn't know that I felt inadequate coming up. I didn't know I had insecurities coming up. I'm young. Now, understand, this was before drugs even came into place. So mama used to give me nickels and dimes to take to school to spend. So I came up with this master plan back then that if I give my nickels and dimes to Cynthia Cooper, she would like me. And I gave them to her. She said, sure, Thaddeus, I'll take them. And she took them. And the reason I did that because I wanted her to like me. I put expectations on her. So when they had this thing called a spring fling dance where the little girls would pick the little boys to go to the Tom Thumb dance with, you know, I knew I was in the box. I gave all my nickels and dimes. I know she gonna pick me. There's no doubt. So I'm standing up in the front of the class. All the little guys, we had on our little suits, and we standing up there just smiling. And the girls coming down, picking everybody. And the girls came down, and I'm standing there, man. I know I'm in the box, and she come to me, man. And she smiled. Hi, Thaddeus. I said, hi. And she went to another guy and picked him. And I was devastated. Crushed. Rejection. Okay? Abandonment. Okay, now I don't know nothing about processing no feelings. All I know it is hurt. And I carried those feelings on. Now understand this, and I recognize this. If you don't deal with issues that you have before you start using, and you put drugs on them, because drugs are going to push the issues down. So when you come in recovery, if the issue hasn't been dealt with, the drugs are gone, the issue's going to resurface. You know, I'm talking about my experience. Okay, so second incident, girl moved into the neighborhood. Pretty little girl. You can see I had issues with women way back then. At a young age. Pretty as a picture. And all my little buddies, we was posturing for position to see who could get to her. You know, and me being the kind of guy I was, because I had to act as if those were my boys. That's all right. They took the picture down. Yeah. It's cool. It's no problem. That kind of threw me off. That's okay. Those were my boys. And all my buddies, they were saying, look, I want her. I want to get with her. I said, no, I want her. I'm going to get with her. Well, Thaddeus, you can't get her. I said, yes, I can. Well, we bet you can't get her. I said, I bet you I can. Well, we bet you can't get her and go behind the building and do the nasty. Now, I had never even done the nasty. You know, I'm little. But then my boys, I ain't going to tell them I hadn't done the nasty, because I got to act as if. I got to be a part of. You know, mass, image, all of this was in play then. So I said, yes, I can. And I go over and talk to her and I convince her to go behind the building. We go behind the building and we get behind the building and she pull up her little dress and I unzip my zipper and you know, and she pulled out her little panties, and I pulled out my little thing, and we, real quick, and she laughed at me the same way y'all doing. She said, you don't know what you're doing. I done the nasty. You ain't never done it? So the feelings involved when she laughed at me. And that wasn't even meant, man. She went and told my buddies. I was crushed. So those was issues. These were some of the things, man, that I wrote about in my fourth step. Because one of the things that came out with Thaddeus, because when I wrote on the piece, because it was areas, the resentments, the relationships, the sex, and I recognized through the work of my sponsor. My sponsor, Walston B., I'm going to call his name because I'm proud of my sponsor who helped guide me through this process. And I'm going to say, newcomer, you can't do this by yourself. One of the things that came out that a lot of my relationships was based on my sexual parentages. Okay? It was so funny that when I was locked up, I was ashamed about it. I didn't want to tell anybody about it, but it's a thing that I've gotten past that. That I messed with a guy in the penitentiary. I let him have oral sex on me. So when I wrote about it, and you know how you can minimize, because I'm good at minimizing stuff. Oh, it wasn't that bad. Right. You know what I'm saying? He got on his knees and had oral sex on me. Okay? So my sponsor helped me with that. Because, you know, in this process of sharing some of my intimate secrets with my sponsor and him exposing himself to me, he said, Thaddeus, let me just ask you something. No, he didn't ask me did I like it, because I liked it. Let me say that. Okay, but yeah, I did. Damn right I liked it. Okay, I closed my eyes and I fantasized while he was doing me. Okay? But this was the hit that he shared with me. He said, Thaddeus, you are minimizing what you did. He said, what you think about this? If you commit a homosexual act, what does that make you? I said, I'm not a homosexual. He said, but you committed a homosexual act. Okay? So I had to get honest about that. He wouldn't let me minimize. He wouldn't let me minimize because I'm very good at minimizing. So when I shared with my sponsor, because we made an appointment, I had done the fourth step, and they say you do a fourth step without thinking about the fifth step, but that was hard to do because I'm writing all this stuff, and I'm saying I got to share this stuff, you know. But thank God that I had built a relationship with a loving and caring God early on in this process. Because I had a sponsor who said, that is the first relationship you got to build is with God before you can build a relationship with yourself. And thank God for the guidance of a sponsor that helped me pray early on, taught me how to pray, and gave me some prayers to kind of invite God into to anything, any endeavor I go into. He said, Thaddeus, whatever you go in, you need to take God with you. Let God use you. You understand what I'm saying? Because self has to die. Because for real, if self is in the way, then ego is out there. Ego wants me to sound good, look good at all costs. You understand what I'm saying? But when God comes in, when God starts using you, the humility that's there, man, is regardless of what I share about me, I ain't worried about if y'all judge me, because it's fine if y'all do judge me. It's okay. You know why it's okay? Because when you look at me, you look at you. Because we are mirrors of each other. So anything that you hear me do or have heard me do, you capable of doing the same thing too. And I understand that. You understand? I understand that. So with my process of my sponsor helping me with these areas to identify the relationship, I had resentments. Look, my daughter, I went to jail. I was in a co-ed institution in Lexington, Kentucky, and the young lady, I had a relationship with her, and she got pregnant, a sexual relationship. She got pregnant, and she was supposed to, a sexual relationship. That's what it was. And when she got pregnant, she was supposed to leave the penitentiary before me. So me being the kind of guy I was, because one of the things that also came out in the fourth step that I talked about my sponsor now when we talked about it, was I had a lot of good qualities. I was very loving and caring. So I told her, I said, look, you don't have anywhere to go when you leave, and you're carrying my daughter at the time. I said, I'm going to call my mother. Why don't you go home with my mother? And when I come out, we'll get together and we'll build this big relationship. So she did, and I called my mother. And my mother being, because moms, and through working through four step, I found out not only did I have caretaker issues, my mother did too. Okay? And so that came down from her. So she took her in, and when I came home from the penitentiary, all my intentions was for me and her to get together and be together. And what happened, and it's amazing, when you don't do no work on you and you don't know who you are, you can see all the defects and shortcomings in everybody else. You dig what I'm saying? Because when I got home from the penitentiary and I got with her, and when I came home, I found she had the baby, and I said, well, are you going to get a job? She said, no. She said, no. She said, I'm going to get on welfare. I said, welfare? I said, well, look, why don't you let me help you get your GED and get to work? She said, well, I'm not really trying to do that, you know? I said, So I said, I done made a mistake here. You know, so, but I stayed. The reason I stayed because she had my daughter. Okay, so in spite of how I felt, in spite of the fact that I was didn't want to be there, I stayed anyway. Because again, I'm talking about a guy who always wanted to be accepted. The issues hadn't been dealt with. The people pleasing issues, the caretaking issues. You understand? It was still there. I stayed in a relationship I didn't want to be in. You understand what I'm saying? Like my man Tyrone said, past the expiration date. Okay? So what happened in this process of staying there, she started using again. And before she used, we left. We got an apartment. I got an apartment, and we was together, and she used, I left. And I went back home to my mother. We had an apartment. I left her with the furniture. I left her with everything, and I went back home to live with my mother. Now, and I'm sharing this because this is what I want to share. That's what happened. Now, 2 weeks ago, my daughter, whose relationship when I got here, who I had done a lot of harm to, because one of the things when I wrote the fourth step, I had done a lot of harm in relationships, and wasn't just about intimate relationships, but relationships with mothers, fathers, relationship with my daughter, relationships with people on my job, co-workers. I wrote about all of those things. And one of the things that came out is resentments that I held against my daughter because of resentments I had for her mother carried on to my daughter. And what happened when I got into the fellowship, I was able to start working on me and let the relationship with my daughter, let God heal that relationship. Because people who was here before me, which was the predecessors, and thank God for our predecessors who helped me. They said, Thaddeus, you know what? You're going to get clean and all of a sudden you're going to go home and you're going to think, because you wasn't a father all them years, you're going to think that your daughter's going to accept you. That's not real. You understand? Your daughter got a lot of resentments. Because you was never a father, you was never there for her, and she did. And because she shared this with me. She was able to share this with me, that I hate you. She told me that one day, and it was like a knife cutting through me. Okay? So when I got clean, I wanted so bad to try to be that father that I wasn't. But people said, check this out. In God's time, not your time. You know? And this is the hit. You got to get all right with the fact it might never get better. You understand? So when I let her go through her process and I worked on me, the relationship that I came in with that was like this started getting better. So what happened 2 weeks ago, and to show you how I can still go there, 2 weeks ago, she moved her boyfriend in with her at my mother's house. So, you know, now I don't even live at my mother's house. You know, but that's my mother. Okay? So I don't pay no bills there. You know, so I said, Mama, I said, how is it Shanae is living here? She ain't paying no rent. And she gonna move her boyfriend in here with you. Real judgmental. Instantly. So my mother, she'd be breaking stuff down. She just keep it real simple. She said, did you forget when you was locked up and you sent Shanae's mother home here with me and you came here and stayed with me? Did you forget and you didn't pay no rent? She said, what makes you think I'm going to treat your daughter any different than I treated you? And she was right. She was right. That's not my business. If that's what she wants to do, that's fine. But that's how I like to try to control things. Because that was one of the issues that came out when I wrote my fourth step and I had to share about it, was my control issues. The sharing of the fifth step with my sponsor, it was a bonding, it was a healing. I became a lot closer with him. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I didn't have a lot of fear when I had to expose some of those secrets. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't completely honest when I shared my first fifth step with my sponsor. I held back some stuff. That, and I need to share that. I'm not going to tell you that I told him everything. I sure did not. I had that because I still wasn't all right with some of the stuff I was telling him. But as we have built our relationship, I have been able to get more honest with him. I have to always share that a lot of times I have levels of honesty. Some days it depends on how spiritual I am. Some days it depends on who's in the room, how honest I'm going to get. Okay, but through this process, the fifth step has let me understand one thing is about self-honesty and being honest with myself. Anytime you stand at this podium and you share about you, you take a risk. You take a risk to open yourself up because people are going to judge. And it's okay. I told you it's okay because I'm going to judge you too. You know what I'm saying? So you got permission to judge me. It's fine. You know, but one thing about this is what has allowed me to do. The one thing I got out the fifth step has allowed me to take responsibilities for everything I have done. You know, this past year, this has been a good year, because last year I had some struggles in this thing called recovery. Okay, I was in a relationship that meant a lot to me, and I had done some things. I was dishonest. That was the exact nature. And I caused harm to the relationship. And I'm going to show you how God has a way of working things out when you get out the way and you do what you're supposed to. And my zest and my zeal to get honest, because one of the things that was shared to me by my sponsor, he said, "Thaddeus, you got to get honest with yourself." He said, "When you come in here and you get honest, two things happen. You number one, you helping yourself. And number two, you helping somebody else who struggled with opening up too." Okay? So what happened, because I had done some things and I was dishonest, and from dishonesty I found a lot of shortcomings come, like manipulation, like lies, like deceit. And I had done all those things, and I had broken up. I had hurt somebody that I cared for a lot. And what happened, the shame and guilt had set in. And the shame and guilt had caused me to start isolating, because I would come to a meeting, and I'm wondering, how many people know what I did? You understand? It wasn't y'all, it was me. You understand? That's how I was feeling. And the shame and guilt from the past was holding me hostage right here in the present. And my sponsor, he said, "Man, you're going to have to pray on that. You're going to have to get better with that, that it happened." He said, "In God's time, you will be able to heal that relationship." He said, "But what you got to do right now, you got to get healthy." Because I was unhealthy. And when you start drinking resentments and shooting anger, huh? And smoking dishonesty? Huh? I had got spiritually constipated. I had. Well, no spiritual principles in there. Because when you're caught up into the defect's bum rushing, man. And if you ain't sharing it with nobody, if you ain't getting honest with your sponsor, just giving that surface stuff, you know, you're running wild. And I was, and I caused harm. And I had, the hardest thing to do was to come to the podium and get honest. Because when you get clean time in this process, it's hard to get up here and get honest. Your image won't allow it. So I had to invite God in. I had to get back all right with God, because I had gotten disconnected with God. I had started doing a whole lot of things on the outside of the program. I'm talking about working. I'm talking about doing everything else. And I had put my recovery on the back burner. And I caused some harm. Now I'm going to show you how God is. We're talking about mercy and grace. That's what we're talking about. Mercy being just as held back, and grace being something given, and I didn't deserve it. Okay? The same relationship that I damaged when I was able to get myself healthy and do what I needed to do, in God's time, that relationship started to heal and work back out. And this is really the hit, because I told y'all about Dover. You know, I was so ashamed, and I felt so guilty of what I had done to her, man, that I didn't want to see her in certain meetings I wasn't going to. And you know how we do, man. When you're in a relationship with somebody and you cause damage, man, and it's normal, people take sides. Some people that like her, right away start judging me. You understand? Some people call me a villain. Some people call her a victim. And that's fine. But I had to look at what I had done. I had done wrong. She didn't do nothing. She's a good person. So I went to my friend's anniversary, and God was presenting it. God said, "Thaddeus, you prepare yourself. I'm going to present the opportunity for you to step up to the plate." Went to my friend's anniversary. This is the first time I had seen her in 6 months. And I went in there, and it seemed like everybody was looking at me. It did. That's the way I felt. And after anniversary over, I see her. And I wanted to go over and say something to her, and I couldn't. I said, "Damn." And I went back home that night, and I said, "Man, I had the opportunity to say something, and I couldn't, because I was felt so shame and the guilt and the fear." And I was with my sponsee, and my sponsee, man, he said, "Thaddeus," he said, "but you made a major step. You showed up tonight." And when I got home, let me tell you how God is. She called me and left a message. And said, "I still love you." You see what I'm saying? She did that. She said, "Look," she said, "you know what? The night when we saw each other at the anniversary," she said, "my intentions was to say something to you." She said, "but it was so crowded. Everybody was talking." She said, "but I just want to say this to you." She said, "I hope in the future, if we see each other, we can be cordial." You understand what I'm saying? I hope that we will always be friends. So that was the little opening. Now, what happened? I go up Dover, Delaware again. And happened to run into her. And that was my opportunity. So when I see her, I said, oh, my goodness, there she is. So Thaddeus, what you going to do? You're going to step up to a plate, you're going to be a punk again. So I went up to her and tapped on the shoulder. And she turned around, and we spoke, and we talked, and instantly, man, I'm sorry for everything I've done. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for everything I've done. I love you. That's all just came out, right? You know, because I wanted so bad to heal because I knew that she didn't deserve what I did. You understand what I'm saying? But it was so hard for me to get honest about that because sometimes I still want to appear as if to y'all. You understand? I have gotten better in this process. This fifth step has allowed me to get better in this process. It has allowed me the willingness to change and to look at some areas. What the fifth step did through my sponsor, when my sponsor pointed out some of the glaring defects in my life, it gave me the ability, like Patricia said, once you know what you need to do, you have the responsibility to move forward. You can no longer say it's a process or I'm an addict. Okay, so anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking with you, and I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to share. Thank y'all for letting me share. Thank you.